Hey everyone, Mark and Steve here.
Before we get started today, we want to let you know about Dare to Connect, our new online interactive video platform.
For less than the cost of a therapy session, you and your spouse get live access to both of us 3 times a week.
Each 30-minute live group support session provides interactive mentoring and healing for addicts, spouses, and couples.
If you're loving our podcast and our unique style of bringing you recovery, you're going to love Dare to Connect.
To learn more, go to daretoconnectnow.com. We're looking forward to seeing and working with you. Hey, everybody. I'm Steve Moore.
And I'm Mark Castleman.
We know the pain and heartbreak of porn and sex addiction.
And we know the triumph of breaking completely free.
Every day, we help our clients find hope and healing.
Join us in the fight to take back your life, your marriage, and be stronger than ever.
This is the PBSC Squared Podcast.
Hey, everybody, Mark and Steve on the PBSC podcast. So glad to be with all of you. Steve and I were talking before we recorded today. Man, I'll tell you, one of the things that really created a massive, massive barrier, hurdle, wall, block, Great Wall of China, whatever you want to call it, in my recovery and in my relationship healing, and quite frankly, what kept my addiction fueled for decades, is this wonderful word called resentment.
Yeah.
Man, did I have a lot of resentments, a big giant pile of them.
Yeah.
And until I was ready to look at those, even recognize what they were and start looking at them and facing them and learning how to process them and to shift out of them, I stayed stuck for decades. So we wanted to talk about resentments today. Are your resentments holding you back?
This is a great topic. I'm excited. Like you, I mean, I've probably mentioned on here before, I have a master's degree in social work and a bachelor's degree in social work. And I'm a certified sex addiction therapist, but I have like 4 PhDs in resentment. Cause that was really the main vent for my addiction, honestly. It was one of the main precursors to getting in recovery, almost more so than the acting out itself.
Yeah.
As my wife and I have talked about this. We went through this process of, I kind of got deeper and deeper into addiction, and I was being open with Brittany during this process, to be fair, but that was one of the things that was most concerning for her. She talks about it often, like the sexually acting out was problematic and causing all sorts of problems, but I was just becoming incredibly angry and bitter. Like,
yes,
really, really toxic.
Yep.
She dreaded that more than hearing about acting out. She's actually talked to me, and it's really sad we got to this point, but she would truly fear me coming home. Mm. Not because like I was physically abusive or anything, but because it was like, oh, my day's going well. And now the hurricane just arrived.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, oh, it's going to be all this toxicity and grossness. And you know, resentment is an important topic to discuss. It's something that obviously we don't like to hit on because it is inherently negative. But it is important to address because, you know, the toxicity that accompanies resentment and the literal, and we're actually going to talk about a damn example here in a minute, like a literal damn example, not a damn example, although it is a damn example.
Example of the damn.
That's right. But there really is a literal kind of damming or blockage that goes on, you know, when we, for the different reasons and the different lines of logic that we're going to talk about today, when stuff starts to get backed up, it is a recipe for everything under the sun, negative addiction just being one of many ways, right?
Well, it's really important as we start this out, Steve, that we make sure that we say clearly with regard to resentments, these are not unique to those of us struggling with addiction.
No.
Or in recovery from addiction. Resentments are also very much present with spouses or partners who are suffering from the betrayal trauma and all of the things that brings. So as we talk about resentments, whichever of those categories you're in, please hear me and Steve. We're not trying to say in this podcast whether what you're feeling resentful about is justified or we're, any of it's not about that in this podcast.
Yep.
If resentment is holding you back for whatever reason, we want to identify what it looks like, how you can recognize it in yourself, and how to move through it. And we absolutely validate all of you who have reasons, very legitimate reasons for having resentment. You
for sure.
Absolutely are validated in those reasons for having it. So we're not here to say that you're wrong in feeling the resentment. We just want to help you to take that big giant roadblock and help you move it out of the way if you're ready.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because we all experience negativity and anger, right? Everybody does. For a lot of different reasons. You know, when we talk about resentment and what it actually is, you know, Mark and I, we kind of use a couple of definitions almost kind of interchangeably with it. Sometimes we refer to it as kind of a hidden anger, right? Which we talk about anger is always a valid emotion. It's not fun, but it is a valid emotion. Oftentimes centered around silently set, but unmet expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Either that we have of ourselves or a higher power or our partner, or maybe it's even just the world in general. Right. But the one of the key components to resentment is that it is hidden, right? It's a set of negative feelings that we conceal. And there are a lot of reasons why we do it that, again, are really valid, because
absolutely valid.
Most people do not wake up one day and just be like, you know what? I just want to bottle all this crap up. I don't want to talk about stuff. I just want to, you know, shove it all down and never, you know, we learn these traits early on in life from a number of sources.
Well, and talking about that, those expectations, Steve, I've found that in my work with myself and others, I can trace, I would never say all, but a great deal of resentment comes from this place where in trying to manage my life better, trying to not feel so much pain or stress or discomfort, trying to not be betrayed, all the ways that I try to protect myself to have a healthier, happier, more peaceful life, I build expectations around that. Mm-hmm. What do I need to do, or what do others need to do in order for my needs to be met, in order for me to be safe and healthy and happy? I have expectations around those things because I'm trying to get to that better place.
Yeah.
And we silently set those expectations as a way to try to look out for ourselves and protect ourselves and get to have a better life.
Yes.
But those silent setting of expectations, we know life is often, we have a lot of expectations that aren't met, mm-hmm. that don't happen. And boy, when they don't, here comes the disappointment, quickly followed by its partner or Siamese twin, resentment.
Yeah.
And that's where we start to get stuck.
For sure.
Now, if we want to connect with our really authentic selves, our true authentic selves, getting in touch with these resentments is an important part of that deep down authenticity. It's a part of us. It's a part of life. But man, we are not good at sharing our resentments. First of all, recognizing them in us, but boy, not sharing them with others.
Yeah.
Maybe absolutely. The only times we share resentments are when it's this big giant eruption of anger, mm-hmm. right? I'm going to tell you about my resentments. But other than that, it's not usually a crafted, self-aware, you know, really... you know, well thought out expression. Here are all my resentments, and here's where they've come from and why. We're not good at that.
You know, on our Dare to Connect program, you know, our program for couples, addict spouses and couples. You know, we meet with in Dare to Connect. We meet with addict spouses and couples. We do three separate groups every week on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and we tackle a variety of topics. And a subscriber, we do a lot of that focused around what our subscribers want to hear from. So it's a very interactive program. And this week we've been focusing on a submission that one of them sent in that really is applicable here. You know, she's a spouse of an addict, and she talks about both my and my husband, we have this hard time recognizing what we are feeling, even recognizing those things, including the negative. Right. And she talks about how oftentimes when we try to talk about these things or discuss these things, that the anger comes out sideways. is the term that she used. And Mark and I were talking on Dare to Connect just a few minutes ago about that and on the program. And it's such an apt way to describe this, right? Because we shove this stuff down so much and compact it for a variety of reasons we're going to briefly talk about. And what ends up happening? You can only trash compact so much before something kind of like picture like one of those YouTube videos where you see like the big compressor, you know, I can't remember the name of those things, but it shows people like crushing different things with it.
Oh yeah.
You know, it really, that anger ends up, you know, that buildup, that resentment has got to go somewhere.
Yep.
And it will. And if you don't resolve it, it will bleed out and kind of squish out the sideways exactly. In the most toxic ways.
Yeah. Well, as we look at that, so why do we compact down and squish this stuff down and we don't express it to others? There's a lot of reasons for that. There's often very much in a lot of the marriages that we help, there's a lack of safety.
Yes.
It isn't safe for me to express, you know, these true feelings and resentments. Other times we don't have permission. The other person, you know, has not invited us to be able to do that. Or I don't feel like I have permission personally. I was raised in an environment where you weren't allowed to do that.
Yeah. Right?
It was the group identity, not you as an individual. You don't have feelings or emotions. You don't get to, don't be negative. Why are you always so negative? Right.
Yep. Well, and you see this, I mean, this permission bleeds out in lots of different ways, right? The whole element of religiosity plays a role oftentimes with this. I've talked often on here about it. That was one of my biggest barriers is I had tremendous epic amounts of resentments for God.
Yes.
About cancer twice, about killing my dad, about then killing my uncle after my dad when he kind of supplemented being a dad, right? There were all these feelings that I was shoving down, but a big reason why they would not come out is because I was raised not in a doctrinal way, but culturally. I somewhere picked up along the way the very heavy message that it is not okay. I don't have permission to be pissed at God.
Right.
That's not okay. You don't do that. Like you don't get angry with God. Right. But the problem was that you could tell that little kid and later that adult, you know, 6 ways to Sunday, why it's the worst possible thing in the world, but I'm still pissed.
Right. And that same feeling of permission bleeds into other areas. So I grew up with a mentally ill mom. Mm-hmm. And by the way, she's one of my absolute all-time heroes today because of what that woman was able to go through and be resilient and taking care of her children. But nonetheless, I didn't have permission to bring up my stuff because she would basically fall apart.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. And you might have that with your own parents, siblings. You may be in a relationship or a marriage right now where you don't feel like you can express stuff because your partner is so unstable that they're just going to fall apart. You know, he's going to go act out because you expressed your resentments.
Yeah.
So don't have permission to do it. Another thing I found in my case, I lacked the confidence to even put it into words. I don't want to stumble all over myself and look like a fool. So just don't express it.
Fearing that rejection from other people, right? Yeah. Like I'm going to, it's not safe. A lot of us have experienced that kind of childhood trauma where when we've put ourselves out there, even the good parts, people reject it. They shut it down. Yes. And so what's the logical conclusion? Well, geez, if I even share the good parts, people aren't going to accept that. So how in the world would they accept the bad?
Exactly. You already said one, not morally acceptable to let out your authentic resentments and anger. And this was a big one. I wanted to control the perceptions of others. I want to be likable, lovable, pleased. I want people to be pleased with me. I want them to affirm me and validate me. So why in the world would I dare to express my resentments toward them?
Yes.
I'm not going to risk that. No way.
Nope. Yep. Way too scary. Way too scary.
And here's a big one. There was a part of me that basically, a little voice that said, Mark, don't be digging down deep to all these resentments and all this anger, because that means you're going to have to start to do the deep work. And that's going to be exhausting and vulnerable and really crappy. So just keep being resentful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
No, it's totally true. And that's the fundamental age old, right? Why so many of us on just a very base level, we really have to focus a lot of the time, be it addict or a partner or just as people, you know, it's so much easier for the brain to just go to facts and non-emotional based stuff.
Yes.
Emotional thinking, emotional presence, emotional intelligence, as some people call it, is exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Staying in that place takes a lot more literal biological energy than being distant or disconnected from oneself, at least in the short term.
Well, how much easier is it, right? Someone says, well, you need to step back, become a watcher and an observer of your own thoughts and feelings and journal through them and talk through them and do all this stuff with them. Hell no, I'm just going to get mad and blow up and just let the resentment ooze out, right? Just prah, that's a whole lot easier than all the other stuff I just said.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that, if I do start doing this deep work, that says that this other person in my life who's caused all this, why should I have to do any work? This is his fault or her fault.
Totally.
Right? Do you hear that resentment, right? Do you see how it keeps us so stuck? So the first step for me is, how do you start to recognize your resentments in the first place? Because our brains, our little survival brains trying to keep us safe and keep us from being hurt again in the future can be really tricky with this.
For sure.
Brains are really good at shielding us from recognizing these resentments that we carry and how they're keeping us stuck.
Yeah. Well, a great way to look at this, I think there's a couple, and one of these I didn't actually even mention beforehand. The first is you know, if you find yourself, and I run across this with clients from time to time, and again, we adopt this oftentimes from religious cultures, and sometimes we'll take healthy practices but kind of twist them to meet different ends, like shoving stuff down. If you find yourself constantly being positive at the cost of never expressing anything negative, that can be problematic. But oftentimes that goes undetected because it's so socially acceptable to be positive all the time.
Yes.
Right? Everybody loves the positive person. Everyone likes the happy person. But anger is just as much of a place in the emotional spectrum as any other feeling. And we all have times where we feel that.
And I've had occasional clients who've said, I never saw my parents say one cross word to each other, ever get angry or ever raise their voice in their entire marriage.
Mm.
And I do not hear that as I'm like, that's amazing. Let's model what they did. Mm-hmm. I am just the opposite. I'm like, whoa, okay. There was one or more suppressed people in that relationship.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely. Not to say that the whole thing's bad. It isn't.
No.
But come on, never?
Yeah. And there has to be, and that's important, right? Because in order for relationships, I mean, this is kind of an aside, but if a relationship is to grow, it doesn't just need and require a celebration of the positive. It does need recognition and work on the negative, because every relationship has areas that need work, whether it's with self or with other people, or, you know, or their areas of life, right? That's how we improve. That's how we better. That's how we progress in life in general. And learning how to do that in a healthy way without going to shame or resentment or a lot of these other dysfunctional ways of dealing with those feelings. For some, this may sound really easy. For others of us, like Mark and myself, and probably many of you listening, this is like one of the hardest parts of recovery was learning how to do this in a healthy way.
Oh yeah. No, I would rather have died than say something negative to somebody that I wanted to like me or wanted them to be pleased with me.
Totally.
I would just swallow it down and not let it out until I would let it out in acting out in my addiction or fits of anger by myself or, you know,
And I'm glad you brought that up, Mark, because that would be the one that I didn't write down in our notes when we started today. It's kind of what I refer to as the Vesuvius effect, right? The volcano. Right. It's just like there's this period of quiet, sometimes days, weeks, months, or even longer.
Decades.
decades. But then there are these, but then when something triggers it, right? Something in the environment, something happens and we experience that whole, you know, we talked earlier about that subscriber in D2C saying, you know, anger coming out sideways. Mm-hmm. It's like that on steroids and we just lose it.
Exactly.
Right. And it all comes out, all that toxicity and that spewing that we've just built and built and built comes out of there. And then we enter back into that quiet stage. If you find yourself in either personally or in a relationship where that sort of thing happens, that is a really good indicator that there's no pressure valve. Right. There's no pressure valve that's going on to release that consistently. And so you get the build explosion, and then you go back to the building stage.
Right. Right. Yeah. You know, and the other thing I found over all the years of my, you know, recovery and healing is often my brain, in order to hold down the resentments, keep them packed away and off in a corner, my brain would bring other, what I call survival brain tendencies into play. Some people call these character defects.
Yeah.
So I would rationalize, I would justify, I would blame, I would mind read. I would, you know, all these different approaches I would take so that I didn't have to face my own internal resentments and anger. I would use all these other techniques. Well, it's him, it's her, it's that, it's this, right? I know what he's thinking, or I know what she's going to do, or right? I know God won't accept me, so I'm not going to express this to him, right? Yeah. But listen to all of that deflecting instead of just facing it straight up, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the first question I would have for all the listeners as we wrap up is, are you willing to begin shifting out of this stuck place?
Yep. Yep.
Do you have a willingness? You may not. You may say, you know what? I am so pissed off and I'm so completely done in this relationship or whatever. No, I will not face it. You might be there. But if you find that there's a little bit of willing, if you're starting to look at this and going, you know, I keep getting what I'm getting, so I think maybe I need to do something different. Maybe I'm willing to start looking at this. And if you are, then how do you start to shift from that place of resistance and anger into a more peaceful, productive, you know, authentic place? How do you do that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you know, getting into that place and even just shifting into that gear is really hard, because for so many of us, we've just done this the other way for a long time, right? Yeah. So that beginning where you're at, you know, is really important. And, you know, we were actually talking before this, and I showed Mark a recent video I came across on YouTube that talks about, well, it doesn't talk about anything. It's showing this dam, I believe, over in Japan, if memory serves, where it hasn't been opened in something like a decade, like one of the pressure release valves.
So the spillway's been shut for 10 years.
Yeah. And yeah, you need to look it up. Obviously we can't do visual on this thing, but you know, it opens it up and at first you don't even see anything come out. And then slowly, like it's a square opening and you kind of see this cube shape, almost like one of those old Play-Doh toys.
Oh
like
yeah.
The extrusion. Cube kind of just squishing out right at the side.
Blood.
But as it starts. Yeah. Just all the crap that sits at the bottom of the dam, goopy, right?
Mud. It's just disgusting as you see it come out slowly.
Yeah, but then it starts to pick up speed. And as it starts to go, progressively the sludge turns into mud and gets muddier and thinner until eventually the water is now shooting out full spurt. And now it's dark water, but then it eventually starts to become clear.
Clear, yeah.
Right. And it's a really good analogy for those of us who are trying to break out of this, because we do have so much of that crap literally just emotionally impacted in there that you do just have to start where you're at. And sometimes for some of my clients, that just means getting one of those vomit journals and just, I have one client I'm thinking of in particular right now. She would laugh. She'd be okay with me sharing this, but it's just F-bombs.
Yeah. 20 pages of F-bombs.
and just every crass term or phrase that she can think of. She actually has a part of her journal where she has days where she just sits down and that's how she begins the journal before she gets to the actual journaling.
Things that she would probably never, ever dare express in front of her religious friends or family or anyone else or her kids. So, right, this that sludge coming out of that damn spill, that damn spillway.
That's right.
Double meaning there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You may need to start. I remember for me, I would take a notepad, go into the mountains by myself with 4 or 5 pens so I didn't run out of ink, and just vomit. Every freaking, I mean, the amount of profanity was unbelievable. And I just would spew it out and spew it out and spew it out. I had to learn to do the same thing in prayer. I had a very disturbed relationship with an Old Testament, angry, vengeful, disappointed God. So when I finally started learning how to do this, he and I had quite some prayer conversations, complete with profanity.
Oh, yeah.
I hope that doesn't offend some of you, but it was real. It was authentic. It was the sludge coming out that had to do that. So you may need to start there, and you may need to do it multiple times. You may have multiple trips to the mountains or the ocean or the desert. and, you know, 10 notebooks. I don't know.
Well, and that actually brings up another point as we kind of wrap up. Sometimes I have actually found this to be helpful, you know, because we have been living in a lifestyle for so long, like, for example, with resentment, it's really hard to, even with these, some of these tools, it can be hard to do. So sometimes a major reset is really required, right? So something that actually sustainably gets you away where you can experience kind of a true serenity. So whether that's getting away to a day spa or even like going to like a retreat. Mark and I, we are in the process of putting together some of our first Dare to Connect and PBSC retreats. So getting out of town and doing, getting away and, you know, whether it's clinically, you know, therapist guided or a spiritual pilgrimage, right? Like a sweat lodge or, you know, maybe if you
going to a sacred spot that's in your faith tradition or, you know, the mountains, the lake, the ocean, just getting a reset and getting some people outside of you who can help you see what you cannot see by yourself.
And just experience that real serenity, right? Mm-hmm. Be in a place where you're feeling that. Oftentimes that can be kind of the thing that can start to unwedge the blockage. Because what happens? We come back to life, real life, and that's what allows us to sort of start to see, wow, look how heavy this is.
Yeah.
Look at all the crap I've been carrying around. How freeing was it for 3 days to get away from that nonsense, you know, in a healthy way?
Yep. You may need a major reset. And then, you know, and so there's lots of ways that you can have that reset and get more in tune with yourself. Once you've got those kind of on track, now you get back to the relationships themselves where you're having, you know, big difficulty with the resentment. And that's all about creating some basics where you can begin to simply be authentic and express, you know, so we talk about using a talking stick where one of you holds the stick and gets to express all the sludge and crap. When you're done and the other one doesn't give any feedback, doesn't defend, doesn't fix, when you're done, you pass the stick to the other and they do the same thing. And that's all it's for. That's it. That's the end. You don't discuss any of it. You can come back a few days later, the end of the week, to talk about solutions, but that's not what that's for. Things like take a break. If it gets out of control, you agree to take a break from each other and come back and try again.
Yeah.
I have what I call consider the source. If somebody is venting and spewing, I try to ask myself, what's under that? What have they been through? There must have been some really awful things that happened to them that, that has caused all of this, right? So all kinds of techniques that you can use, but beginning to shift, to move yourself in a better direction, right? One little step at a time to move out of this resentment because, man, it just keeps you shackled if you stay there.
I love that. Oh, absolutely. Well, we've gone way longer today.
I know we have.
Typical. We kind of can tell we're passionate about this, but we love tackling these issues with you as always. Please feel free to send us questions. If you visit pbscpodcast.com, we'd love to hear from you on our contacts page there. And also, we are offering right now a 2-week free trial on our Dare to Connect program. We'd love to have you come join us, take a look, see if it's a right fit for you and your spouse. With the price that we carry that at and for what it offers, it's really hard to go wrong. We'd love to have you come out and join us and kind of take recovery to the next level. Take it to an interactive space with us. So,
love to see you there. Yep. All right. We'll see you next time on PBSC, everyone.
Yep. Take care, everybody.
Everything expressed on the PBSC podcast are the opinions of the hosts and the participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of an individual qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.